Pastor Dylan will continue on the sermon series, Christmas Matters, and we will be listening to the topic called Christmas Drives Out Our Fear. For now, we will start the Bible reading with David.
And today's Bible reading is from New Testament, Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 8. Once when Zechariah division was on duty, and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot according to the custom of the priesthood to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And when the time of the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshippers were praying outside. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John."
I'm reading from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 33. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end."
I'm reading the third passage, and it's taken from Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. Matthew, chapter 1, verse 18 to 21. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins."
I'll be reading from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 12. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Thank you, Renz. Please keep maybe a finger on that Matthew's reading and have the Luke's reading in front of you. We are flicking through those four readings as we spend some time together. Let me pray before we come to God's Word. Our Father in Heaven, we give you great thanks today for this season. We thank you for the privilege and the joy of being together. Lord, we pray by your grace that we will continue to have this joy of being together. Most importantly, that we will have the joy of knowing Jesus and trusting in him. So we commit ourselves to you now. guide us through your word. May your Holy Spirit remain with us now and after the service, as we go into the week, that we will listen to your word and also put them into practice. So we thank you again in Jesus' name. Amen. Any nativity scene or a Christmas tree is not complete without an angel. Right? It has become a very important part of a Christmas tree. Now, I haven't seen an angel. I hope none of you have seen an angel. Has anybody seen an angel? No. Good. But we always have this picture in our mind, don't we, of what an angel looks like. I couldn't get a picture up here, but you would know these angel figures with wings, and there's a halo around their head, and also this glowing thing around them. And some angels are lean and beautiful. They wear long flowing dresses, and then there are others who are chubby and clunky, who are cuddly, and they wear diapers. And they kind of almost look like a future diabetic risk. But overall, they are innocent, aren't they? They look very innocent. They wouldn't hurt even a fly. Nothing to be afraid of. We don't mind having one of them by our side as our guardian angel. But I have a hunch that the angels appeared during the birth of Jesus may not have looked like that. The readings that we had this morning tells us that during the birth of Jesus, the angels were very busy, especially the angel Gabriel. He was running around and he's appearing to people. You've got Zechariah, Mary, Joseph, and a group of shepherds. They were all these grown-up men and women, and they were all terrified and the appearance of angels, weren't they? Perhaps something in their appearance. Perhaps they were confronted with divinity and suddenly felt how unworthy they were to stand in front of God. And everything that they wanted to do was just run and hide. Or did they feel the angels have come with bad news? Maybe to destroy them, harm them, perhaps to punish them. Whatever reason it was, they were terrified. And so to each of these terrified people, one of the first things the angels say is, if you would have noticed, do not be afraid. There's absolutely no reason for you to be afraid. But each of these do not be afraid statements is followed by a reason why they shouldn't be afraid. Despite what else was going on the surface, it seems the angels reveal something deeper, a deeper reason why they, and in turn, we are afraid. And Christmas dispels fear. It drives out fear. And how does Christmas drives out fear? And this is what I want to briefly look at with you this morning as we go through these four passages that we looked at. Come with me to Luke chapter 1, verse 8 to 13. This is where the birth of John the Baptist was announced by an angel. I won't go into the details of this story. You can read it. You probably know it by heart. Zechariah and Elizabeth were a godly couple in their old age, and they desired to have a child of their own, something they would have prayed probably for years and years. And they served God faithfully. Zechariah served in the most important place in the temple as a priest before God. We are told, but God has been silent for years. They would have struggled to understand God. Does God really hear our prayers? Does he really care for us? Is God angry with us? Has he abandoned us? Or has he forgotten all the prayers that we prayed? Is it too much for him? Is his hand too short to give us this blessing? In fact, Zechariah and Elizabeth were feeling what the whole nation of Israel were feeling, weren't they? Why? The prayer of every Jew had been for the coming of the Messiah. God made these extravagant promises, didn't he? In the Old Testament, of the coming of the Messiah, that he would send his anointed king in the line of King David. And every year passes by, there's no sign of the Messiah. In fact, for the past 400 years before Jesus, it has been complete silence. No visions, no prophecies, no angels, not a single word from God. And it's natural to wonder, isn't it? And to be fearful. What if God has abandoned us? What if he had forgotten his covenant promises to us? What if God is angry with us? What if God is not listening to our prayers anymore? He's not interested in us anymore. Do you have that fear? Don't know about you, but I sometimes do. And that's why I think we need to hear what the angels said to Zechariah. Verse 13. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, because God has heard your prayer. Your prayer has been heard. The rest of the story describes what John, this child, their first child, would be like. That the birth of John, their son, would be an answer to not only to their own personal prayer, it would bring joy to them, but it would also be an answer to their national prayer of the Savior. Because John would be the forerunner to the Savior. I think God reminds Zechariah and the people of Judah and us that God has not forgotten his people. He has not abandoned. He's not ignoring us. Our prayers, our petitions do not go to a set of deaf ears. It doesn't get stuck in the ceiling. No, it reaches God. God hears them. The Apostle Paul tells the Philippian church, right? These beautiful words. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, submit your requests to God. And the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Jesus Christ. What did Jesus say in John chapter 16 verse 24? My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. And in Revelation chapter 5 verse 8, we have this beautiful picture of heaven, isn't it? The prayers are compared, prayers of people are compared to incense, this sweet-smelling incense before God's throne. See, not every prayer warrants an angelic visit. And not every prayer is going to be answered in the way that we want it to. But God does hear our prayers. And he has the power and the means to do much, much more than what we can imagine or ask. Now, isn't that a good reason not to be afraid when you have prayed for something for so long? That God knows it. God hears it. And he can and he will do the best for us, his children. Then the second story starts about 6 months after the angel's visit to Zechariah. The angel visited a young virgin named Mary, who was engaged to be married to Joseph. So come with me to Luke chapter 1 verse 28. And the angel brought this very unusual greeting to Mary, right? Greetings to you, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And again, we are told in verse 9 that Mary was so troubled, this young virgin was so troubled, And she was confused, fearful. What sort of a greeting is this? And to this troubled, fearful Mary, the angel says the second "do not be afraid" statement in this Christmas story. Why? You have found favor with God. Mary was chosen for this very special role to bring God's very special King, Messiah, to the world. See, there was nothing special in Mary, right? That she should deserve this special role. She was just like you and me. Sinful and tempted. And what does God do? God gives special favor. She needed special favor to be God's anointed person to receive or bring God's anointed King to the world. I think Christmas reminds us, isn't it, that we too have found God's favor. While we are not favored in the same way as Mary was, each of us is favored by God. Now the word favor is a translation of the word charis in Greek, which is also translated as grace. Grace is God giving what we do not deserve. The Apostle Paul tells the Roman church in Romans chapter 1, by nature we were enemies of God. We were deserving of God's wrath. But on the cross, God has poured out all his wrath on Jesus, all the wrath that we deserve on Jesus. So the moment that we believe in Jesus, his death and the resurrection, God withholds what we rightly deserve and he gives what we don't deserve, doesn't he? Forgiveness, fellowship, his unconditional love, this new life, a new identity, eternal life. We are no longer condemned. Freedom from sin. He no longer treats us as his enemies, but calls us his friends. And even more, he calls us his children. And if you think about it, in most gift-giving situations, there is something in the receiver that propels or drives the giver to give a gift, right? You might be giving a gift to your employer or employee at the end of the year to kind of say thank you for being your boss or doing the work that you've been doing. Maybe the person is a good friend of yours and you want to appreciate them being around for you during the year, and you recognize their investment in your life and then you give them a gift. Maybe it's just that you received a gift and you think, well, I better give them a gift back. So there's some reason, motivation for you to give a gift. But if you think about the Christmas story, you will see there's no reason why God should have given the gift of Jesus to us. There's no reason. His gift of Jesus does not depend on us. What we have received in Christ is purely a gift of God's grace. Now it's not just Mary, but everyone who believes in Jesus has no reason to be afraid of, because we in Jesus have found God's grace, amazing grace. That's a great reason to rejoice, isn't it? Not to be afraid. Then a couple of months later, after the angel visited Mary, it was the time for the angel to visit Joseph, the man who Mary was engaged to be married to. Come with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25, if you have your Bibles. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Now, as we saw last week, Mary and Joseph's lives had turned completely upside down, right? Mary had come one day and broken this news. Joseph, guess what? I'm pregnant. Joseph comes up, how did this happen? And she gives this very lame excuse, right? God did it. I have a friend. He told me this story. Whenever he visited his grandma, he would get up to these naughty things, and the moment he's got caught, he would tell the grandma, "Jesus made me do it," and the grandma wouldn't punish him. I think Joseph was obviously smarter than this grandma, and he didn't want to believe what Mary said, because we are told he wanted to break off the wedding. He wanted to secretly divorce Mary. Why? It would have ruined his reputation, right? Everyone would have assumed that he was the father of this baby, conceived out of wedlock. It would have been a silent admission of guilt if he had taken Mary home. Joseph is described as a righteous man. It would be hard for such a person to throw away his hard-earned reputation. So in verse 19, Joseph wanted to break off the wedding. And it is here that Joseph has this encounter with the angel, verses 20 to 23. Verse 20, the angel said to Joseph, "Do not be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." Verse 21, "He will be the Savior of the world." You see, when he could not understand what was happening, what's going on, when he was afraid of what would be the future if he had taken Mary home, God wanted him to know that he is at work behind the scenes, saving the world. Like what we said last week, God is always, always in the detours of our life, working his good purposes for us and for the world. So we hear in verse 24 that Joseph actually was willing to trust in God when he said, "Well, God is at work." And he did what the angel said. He took her home as his wife. I mean, this is the good news of Christmas, isn't it? In Jesus, God is at work. God is doing what we cannot do. God is doing what religion cannot do. God is doing what philosophy cannot do. God is doing what science or technology cannot do. He is saving the world. And this should also give us confidence when we go through difficult seasons in our own lives. When we don't know what's going on, when the world is turning upside down, things are spinning out of control, when the future looks very bleak, do not be afraid, because God is at work. And like Joseph, trust him. Trust God. Obey him. Keep serving him. Keep loving him. Don't be afraid. God is at work. You might want to turn back with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 8 to 20. On the night Jesus, the Messiah, was born, doesn't it fascinate you to kind of read the first people to hear about his birth? It's not the king, not the priests, not the business people, not the wealthy people. No, it was a group of shepherds. A group of shepherds. Now, the shepherds were considered outcasts of the society. They were a little shady, generally untrustworthy, not the guys that you would want your daughter to date. They are not the ones, in those days, rabbis wouldn't want them to testify in the court, because they were not trustworthy. So when these guys, when they see in the middle of the night an angel appearing in the sky, the first thing they're not saying, "Whoa, good news." No, they're saying, "We are in trouble. Something bad is going to happen. We've got trouble." And they were terrified. But that night, chapter 2, verse 10, we are told the angels did not bring bad news. Well, they brought good news, weren't they? They brought good news of great joy that is for all the people, that a Savior has been born to you. After the year of pandemic, I mean, we're still in the pandemic, we all long for the good news of a vaccine, don't we? An effective vaccination. And I'm not an expert of vaccinations, but we still don't know how effective the vaccines that have been produced. Do we need to be vaccinated every year? We don't know. But the thought of a few vaccines that are available, which weren't available a few months ago, probably give us a bit of joy, isn't it? A bit of excitement. It gives us hope. Someone once said to die of this virus is a tragic, but to die without our sins forgiven, die without Jesus is a complete disaster. And that's why the birth of Jesus is good news of great joy to the whole world, to all the people. Why? Because regardless your ethnicity, regardless of your language, as we sang earlier in that new song, regardless of your past history, unfaithfulness, weaknesses, and unstableness, regardless of your brokenness, regardless of your regrets, whether you have something or nothing, Christmas is good news of great joy for everyone. Because Jesus has once for all dealt with our problem of sin. He has bridged the gap between us and God, and He has restored us. He has rescued us from the clutches of hell. And there's no more fear in death because Jesus has taken off the sting of death. So we no longer have to fear death. We can look forward for eternity because Jesus has brought us good news. You see, when the shepherds saw these angels first time in that middle of that night, they were terrified. They were expecting bad news and they just wanted to run. But once they had seen the baby, once they had seen the Savior of the world, do you see what they were doing at the end of that reading? They returned with joy, praising God and telling everyone what they had seen and heard. That they had seen God's Savior. I mean, this is what Christmas offers us, isn't it? Joy, not fear, because we have a Savior. I don't know what fears you have today, but as you see the angels in a nativity scene or a Christmas tree or a Christmas card, you may not be afraid because they're cute and cuddly and beautiful. But you might want to remember the real reason not to be afraid of anything. There's absolutely no reason to be afraid or terrified because God has not abandoned His people. God has not abandoned you. He hears your prayer. He has not forgotten. And He has a beautiful plan for you and for me. And in Christ, God has shown this amazing grace to us. And God is at work in and through us in the most darkest moments in our lives. And in Jesus, we have a Savior who brings out joy, not fear. Joy of God's presence. Know Him. Obey Him. Trust Him. Make Him your Lord. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You. It is a season that we are naturally joyful. But as we delve into the Christmas story, we find the superficial joys that we have is nothing compared to the joy that You bring through the Christmas story. There's absolutely no fear that we must entertain in our lives because You have brought Jesus, the Savior of the world, 2,000 years ago. And today we can have this wonderful assurance that you have not forgotten us. You will never forget us. You will never forsake us. And Father, we have this wonderful assurance at Christmas. In Christ, we are highly favored, not because of our own righteousness, but because of what Jesus, He has done. And God, we thank you. As we read the Christmas story, we don't have to be afraid because you are at work behind the scenes, saving us, saving the world, transforming us to be more and more like Jesus. Father, in Jesus, help us to have joy this Christmas, not fear. And Father, help us to know that in us you have placed this wonderful, joyous news the world is so longing for. Father, help us to be channels of this good news of great joy to the peoples around us. And as we do, may you grant us your grace. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.